Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. If you're anything like me, you want a successful, abundant business, epic energy, a growth mindset, vibrant health, and beautiful relationships. And this podcast sets out to help us achieve all of that together. I've been in the entrepreneurship arena for almost a decade now and have mentored hundreds of other business owners. So I know what goes on behind the scenes and what it takes to succeed. This podcast shares the tips, tricks, learnings, and lessons I lean on in order to blend the different facets of my life as an entrepreneur, author, wife, and mama to two gorgeous little humans. Let's jump in to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to the very first Mentee Case File episode of this entrepreneurship season. I am so looking forward to bringing you the How I Did It stories from some of the women I have the extreme privilege and joy of mentoring. Scaling up their businesses is one of the most common objectives entrepreneurs have, if not the most common objective. And Lucy Batag's story is packed with insights and lessons on how she's done it and continues to do it for her business. Lucy is the founder of the LKB Agency, which is a specialist communications and PR agency. However, it wasn't always an agency. She had been operating as a one-woman consultancy for over 15 years before she reached out to me in early 2019. And over the last 2 years, she and her team have successfully transitioned her business to a six-person agency. I adore working with this woman. She is so smart, humble, brilliantly efficient, and a stellar communicator. In this episode, she shares the step-by-step of how she did it, the aha moments, the challenges, and the wins. And I think you'll learn a lot from her, including the turning point, or should we call it breaking point, for her in changing the model, the realization that the business needed to devolve away from her and how she felt about that, the very first steps she took towards an agency model, including a rebrand and why she chose to do that, how she built the team out, which roles she started with and why. This is really, really key, this part. Communicating to clients, especially those who had only ever had her, that new team members were joining and how she moved work away from herself gradually. How she has maintained those client relationships, even though her client contact has reduced significantly. The difference an agency model has made, the pros and cons for Lucy and for the business. And any words of advice she has to pass on to other business owners who are aiming to do what she has done. This episode is jam-packed with nuggets. But before we jump in, I just want to remind you that I have my Power Quarter mentoring spots open now. Post-Babyland, I have opened just 10 spots this side of Christmas, and I think maybe three of them are gone already. So spots are now open. To find out more about Power Quarter Mentoring, you can jump onto my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au, and find out all about how to work with me. And you will hear probably from my chat with Lucy my style as a mentor if you haven't worked with me before or come across my work as a mentor before. So all that said, let's dive in to my chat with Lucy Batag. Hello, Lucy. So excited to have you on.
Hi, Lorraine. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I'm going to have to like try and avoid going into mentor mode. I'm like, no, this is a podcast episode. We're not mentoring today.
Please do. Feel free. Yeah.
So as you know, as part of this season's all about business, I'm focusing on some mentee case files. So interviewing amazing mentees like you who have achieved a specific outcome that maybe other people might be thinking about trying to achieve as well. And the reason I wanted to get you on is that when we started working together, my God, 2 years ago now,
nice.
You were, yeah. I want to say you're a one-man band. I know you had your husband, Aaron, in the business, and you also had Vic as a support team member. But I feel like how the business was set up was very much you and some helpers behind the scenes. Like the client relationships were you, the business strategy was you, it all came back to you. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Something we identified together, and I want to ask you to share a little bit about your business in a minute, was that you were essentially running like a consultancy. So it was Lucy charging herself out at an hourly rate and looking after all of the things in return for that hourly rate. And what we identified was that there was an opportunity for you to build an agency model, which would essentially devolve all of the responsibility from you and start to spread it across a really, really super smart team. So that was the journey, I guess, that I would love for you to talk through on this chat. But before we jump into that, can you just give us a background to your career and the business as well? The business and yourself, first of all, and then I'll ask, we'll talk about our relationship together then.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in the communications, engagement and events industry for about 25 years.
I can't believe that. It's amazing.
Awful to say it out loud. But I started sort of in that PR and government relations space in an agency. And I was there for about 5 years. And then I also, after that, I worked with Sydney Opera House and started to do a bit more government work, including working with Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. Wow. And then pretty much around about that time, I started consulting because we had a family. And believe it or not, seems crazy to say it these days, but 18 years ago, there was a lot less flexibility around being a full-time working mum. And so consulting for me was a great way to keep doing what I absolutely love doing, but also to spend a bit more time with the family and with my young girls at the time. So that sort of was where I started consulting, and I did that on and off for majority of their sort of early childhood. Mm-hmm. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, I managed to get quite a good contract with New South Wales government, and really my consulting work just blossomed from that point. Mm. I made some really good connections and built some great relationships, and the work just kept on coming, which was fantastic and really kind of exciting time and space to be in. So really in that corporate affairs and stakeholder engagement space. And it just grew and grew. And I was sort of servicing 2 or 3 clients by that stage on my own, which meant pretty much 7 days a week, very, very long days.
How many clients did you say there? Did you say 3 more?
2 or 3 at a time.
Yeah.
And my model then was very much to be embedded with clients. So rather than, sitting in an office on my own, jumping between projects, it was very much large chunks of time being embedded with those clients' teams. Mm-hmm. So you really were sort of embraced and treated like a member of the team, which was fantastic, but a very hard model to sustain.
Yes.
When you're one person.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so you reached out to me, I feel like it was around March 2019, I feel. So it's been over 2 years, I think, that we've worked together. So what was the trigger point for you to send me that email? I still remember reading your email in our old living room in our old house.
Aww.
You came across straight away. I was like, this woman is an operator. I think so many people would reach out to someone like me about working, and it's 2 or 3 lines. Hey, can you send me your rates or whatever it might be? And you put so much thought and consideration into that email that straight away I was like, I have to work with this woman. She just sounds so on it and put together. And even then, I think I got a sense of how humble you are as well. So what was this trigger point to reach out to me?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like I said, things were going really, really well. And then I had a family situation, and I had to go back to the UK for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. And I was gone for about 4 or 5 weeks in the end. And it was at that point that I realised, and I probably had known it for a little while by then, but that was a real breaking point for me in terms of this business is just not sustainable in this structure. It is 100% on my shoulders, and it does not function without me. So I need to make a decision as to whether really I do something drastically different, or I take the business to the next level and give it the structure that will make it sustainable.
Yeah.
And I think I had, at that point, I was really familiar with you because we had sort of come from a similar background, a similar industry, being PR, and I had obviously come across you through some of the awards you'd won in your previous agency, some of your articles and your social media. I'd also read your book.
You did your homework.
And I basically just felt like I'd had mentors in the past who, so I knew what a supercharge, a great mentor can be when you're sort of
such a good way of putting it, a supercharge. Love that. Yeah.
When you're stuck in that sort of crossroads, that can just be so helpful. And the mentors I'd had in the past had been fantastic, but they'd been so focused on the business, and I felt like I was at a place where I was broken too. I was really depleted, and I really needed somebody who would look at the business, but also to look at me and how I could get myself in a good spot, really, to be able to do what I needed to do. I felt like you were that person.
Oh, thank you. And I think also a sense, I mean, particularly in the type of role that you do, I mean, all of us owning businesses service someone to one degree or another, but I think particularly in your business where it's client services, you're guiding them on communication and strategy. You're doing a lot of looking after other people, not to mention the fact that you've got three gorgeous girls. So I think for someone else to look after you, I think was something I think I saw it the second you walked into the room for our first session. Like, I was like, she just needs some love, you know? So thank you for trusting me to provide that to you.
100%. And look, you know, I can't say enough how much my relationship with you has changed me and my business in every way.
Oh, Lucy. No,
it's so true. I'm a much better businesswoman. I'm a much better leader. And personally, I understand now how important it is to look after my own energy and my own well-being, to be able to give that to the business, to give that to the team. But like you said, you know, I'm in the industry of being at service to other people, and I love that. I love helping other people, but I need to be in a really good place myself to be able to do that.
Because when you're not, and I had experience myself earlier on this year, I was mentoring someone and she was not in a good, it wasn't you, she was not in a good place. And I was mentoring, and for whatever reason, I wasn't in a good place myself that day. And I really felt so depleted after that mentoring session, which is funny because it was strange because I could do easily 2-3 hour mentoring sessions a day and come away more energized than I was going into it. So I think you're right. If we're not in if our energy isn't in the right place going into the looking after other people, then I've talked about this. I don't know if I've talked about this with you before, but there's a really great line in this book I have. It's called Women at Work, and it profiles different women like for the last 200 years, and it profiles their working days and how they approach their working days. It's fascinating. And there was this particular woman, she was an artist, I've written about in the new book, and she talked about how she never wants to operate out of her capital. She always wants to operate out of her interest, i.e. that she wants to create work or put her energy out there in a way that she knows it's going to come back again, rather than hacking into like her capital. And I, for example, with me, with that mentoring session I mentioned earlier on this year, I was definitely, it was coming out of my capital because I wasn't in a good enough place myself. So I think that's, yeah, I probably when we met, I think you were probably you're starting to hack into the capital in your bank account. Yeah. So we had our first mentoring session together, but can you, because obviously the journey we want to map out for people, and this is very much for anyone who's hoping to I guess, scale their business up, but also do what you did and transition away from it, cash for their service, and build more of an agency or more devolved model from their time and their energy. Where was the business at when we started working together? So I already mentioned you had Aaron and Vic, but can you just put some meat on the bones of what it looked like?
I didn't even have Vic at that stage.
Did you not? I thought you did.
No, I think.
Holy crap.
I think I had maybe started talking to her, but I wasn't ready to make that move yet because I just didn't. Yeah, I was at that crossroads and I just wasn't sure what I was doing. I think you and I talked about that because obviously it was an opportunity to have someone on board who was a good fit. So we probably discussed that. But when I came to you, the business was 100% dependent on me.
I thought you had been for some reason.
Everything. You mentioned before, my husband, Aaron, was supporting me in the business, but he was very part-time and he was really just doing some sort of more like bookkeeping and
almost like behind the scene ops support, was operation support.
Yeah, but very, very minimal around his own work and family life. So he wasn't really deeply involved. So everything was me, from obviously all of the front end business development, client relationships, through to actually delivering the work, through to all the contracts and the invoicing and absolutely everything.
And I think that was, from our first, do you remember what was the biggest takeout from that very first session? I know what mine was from that session. Do you remember yours or your first impressions on it?
I think one of the things that really stuck with me after that was, and it sort of made me laugh, which was why it stuck with me, but I think you referred to me as the golden goose.
Yeah.
And that none of this worked without me. Mm. And therefore I needed to put myself first, which was not something that I naturally had done before. Mm. Having raised kids and, family, and then the type of work that I do is very behind. I'm the one behind the scenes, making other people look good, making other people stand out, telling other people's stories for them. Mm-hmm. So very, very used to, I guess, taking a back seat. And so that was, a big eye-opener for me.
Mm. It was almost like a paradigm shift. I remember when that point landed in our session, you were like, oh, my God. Yeah. It's pretty cool to see. That's why I'm so tired.
I couldn't see it.
So I love that you got that out of it, because the more business side of what that I got out of it was that it was time for you to move from a consultancy to an agency, that there was almost like a ticking time bomb on you working in that consultancy model. I mean, you were already exhausted. As you mentioned, you had a family issue earlier on that year. Mm. And it just wasn't sustainable anymore. I feel like there was, you could probably put a timer on your phone to say how much longer you had at that model. And it just wasn't serving you. I mean, I think you were serving the clients, you were doing brilliant work, but you, as you said, carrying 100% of the client load just wasn't working anymore. And it was time to start switching it off and start to focus more on what an agency model might look like.
Sorry, I completely agree. And I think that was something that it wasn't like it had never occurred to me before, but I was so caught up in what I was doing at the time that I just had never, had that circuit breaker.
Yeah, such a good way to put it. Yes, love that.
Step back and then say, actually, this is what I want, and actually this can work.
Yeah. And also, Lucy, can I just say, like, that was, inverted commas, a positive circuit breaker, because some people, it takes being very, very ill to have that wake up call, or a relationship breaks down or there's other things that happen that force the wake-up call. I'm just glad that I was a circuit breaker and not serious illness. You know, I've had some mentees who've recovered from really, really serious illnesses that were as a direct result of the stress and just operating in, as I said, like almost like erasing their capital as well as their interest over time.
Yeah.
So what did you do? So let's start talking, people. What were the steps you took towards building that agency model?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the first thing, which obviously you were super helpful with, was really just mapping out what that transition looked like. And that for me was really looking at some different models of work. So like I said previously, I'd very much been embedded in my clients' teams. It was very kind of side by side, working super closely with them, and I needed to not lose that connection with my clients.
Yes.
But to create a different model.
Yeah.
And I started to, at the same time, look at, you know, what those services were that I wanted my agency to offer.
Yeah.
Where I thought we could, you know, really provide the best quality service.
Yeah.
And just to get really clear about what those streams of the business were, so that we could then build those models around that. So it was really working out how to take that step away from sitting side by side with a client to actually sitting in my own office and working on clients' projects, but from a distance, essentially.
Yeah.
Weirdly, and I don't think many people would say that COVID helped anything in any way, but yeah. Weirdly, for us, COVID, the first round of lockdowns actually fast-forwarded that process for us, because we were just removed from any of our embedded work. So we were all just working remotely. So clients really, those that were still, we had some that were early adopters, and then we had some that were transitioning. And those that were still transitioning really were able to see, oh, this works. Mm. Don't need you sitting next to me. I get you're there for me when I need you. I don't need you in my office with me.
Yeah, it almost broke the habit. They had to go cold turkey. So stepping back to that very first realization of, okay, I know now that I need to build an agency and that's the right thing to do. So can we talk about your rebrand? Because I think that was pretty pivotal. So what was the business called before you rebranded? I can't even remember now.
It was called LKB Consulting. So
it was your name over the door, essentially, and consulting was very clear.
Yeah.
So one of the first things that you did was you actually did a rebrand, and it was the LKB Agency, which to some that might seem like a small step. But I think for you, it was really nailing your colors to the mast and saying, no, this is who we are and this is what we stand for now. Can we talk a little bit about the transition, taking the clients on the journey? Because I know, I mean, you've got an incredible name and market. People know you, and clients were used to having you to themselves. So can you talk a little bit about the journey that the clients went on, and then can we talk about the team?
Yeah, absolutely. So, that rebrand piece, like you said, I mean, it looks like it's a small tweak, and it purposefully was a small tweak.
Yeah.
I was very concerned that people would, I guess, those who were already familiar with me and using LKB would suddenly think, well, who is this now? I don't know who this is. So we wanted to maintain that part of it, but putting the agency either side of those initials was a clear stamp as to this is a step change for us.
Yeah.
This talks to our new way of doing business, and this talks to the more defined services that we will now the offering.
Yeah. And can I touch on that for a second? Because I was going to jump in earlier, but I don't want to interrupt you mid-flow. When you talked about, I mean, even your language shifted when it was less about, okay, you selling yourself. Sounds like you're selling yourself by the hour, but you know, you selling yourself by the hour, and instead your language started to become, okay, what are the business revenue streams? What's the product? Yeah. So it's almost like immediately there was a separation for you. Well, it's not just me and it's all about me. It's like, okay, now what are the services that we want to offer? And there became an element of separation between you and you aren't the product anymore, I guess is what I'm saying in a long-winded way. And that's so exciting. I think that was almost step one then to starting to go on the agency road. And then there was the rebrand, and then it was obviously the client communication. How did you go about building out the team? Because that was my mistake. I thought Vic was already there, so she was obviously just in the sidelines. And then was she was the first hire then?
She was the first hire, yes. So she did come on board before we did the rebrand and before we moved into that full agency model. But we had definitely made the decision to make that transition when we hired Vic. Mm-hmm. So it was quite, the team part of it was a mix of strategic and organic.
Yeah.
I say that because strategically we went with quite a traditional agency model in terms of having sort of that account executive level, the account manager level, and then account director level, and then myself. And the reason that we did that was because for clients, it really offers them those different value levels.
Yes.
So they really get me for that strategic and advisory piece. And then they get value for money in terms of tactically delivering their project through those different levels in the business.
Yeah.
And I knew straight away that I needed someone who is at account manager level, because I had already had enough work that I needed someone who was experienced enough to jump straight in and help me deliver that. But I needed that sort of, I guess, gap between that first person and myself to prove to clients that they were getting that extra value for money in terms of strategy plus tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And Vic was a strategic decision, because one of the things that I immediately knew when I started looking at the services that I wanted to offer was that I needed to look at where I had gaps in my own experience and my own knowledge. Mm-hmm. And having been in the industry for 25 years, that sort of digital and social side of the world was not around when I first started. So it was something that I had learnt over time, and the demand for that digital first strategy with clients was increasing. And I knew from Vic actually worked for one of my clients. And so I knew from previous experience of coming across her that was her background, and she was very, very strong in that digital space. And I knew that I needed someone to support me and help me build that part of the business. I got lucky because that client was going through a restructure, and Vic's role was one of the roles that was up for possible change. And we had started talking, and she was very, very keen to come and join me. So,
brilliant.
And she now is, 2 years later, is our account director who heads up our digital engagement and campaigns.
Oh, she's such a rock star. I haven't even met her, and I know she's a rock star. You talk so highly of her. It's really, really great. And can we talk about it as well, the importance of physical space? So I know very early in our relationship, you moved to your own office. And I remember the first Zoom we had, and you were in your own office. I was like, oh, look at you. And since that, you've had two office moves. Is that right?
No.
Third space now or your second space?
We're in our second space.
Second.
Now.
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you moving into your own physical space was a really big moment as well, because it was less about, you know, you working from home, or as you said, flitting around different people's, different clients' offices, and you having your own space. There was something about you getting your feet under the desk of your own space that really, it's almost like it cemented that you were actually an agency now. Can you speak to that? Did you feel like that, or was that just my observation?
No, absolutely. I think that really, for me, was a huge shift in mindset. The minute we walked into our first tiny little office in North Sydney, it was, I really thought, okay, I really have to make this work now, because
I have to pay the rent.
We have to pay that rent.
Yeah.
Also, just I really felt, okay, we can do this. We've carved out our space in the industry. We own it now, and let's just make this happen. That was a real change for me. I went from the person who ran around Sydney with a backpack with laptops in it, jumping into other clients' offices and sitting down at a random desk and starting to work, to to being the person who had my own space and was hosting clients in the office for meetings. So
it's almost like a sense of arrival at the spot you were meant to be in, isn't there? Like a coming home in a weird way.
Really good.
That's so good.
And then the second space was that times 10, really.
We jumped into
a much bigger space as the team grew very quickly. That's where we are now, and it's fantastic. We love it.
Yeah, it was so good. I remember the first photos you sent me through, because you'd said, oh my God, this space, and you sent me, text me photos through, and I was like, oh my God, it just... I haven't actually seen it. I've seen your previous space, but the it just seems like very New York loft style. It's very cool.
It's very cool.
One day I'll get there.
One day we'll all get there.
I can go beyond 5K, and you can go back there as well. Holy shit. So obviously, as we're recording this, we're in the middle of the 2021 Sydney lockdown. So with the team building out, so something, I've actually touched on something you did with a few mentees recently around, we actually did it last year, because I feel like you got the agency model, you transitioned to an agency model. And once that was done, it was about, okay, how do we now scale this? Like, how do you actually start to grow the business now that almost like the hard yards is done? Can I just touch on one other thing that I think you did really well in the rebrand? I feel like you got really intentional about your digital presence.
Yes.
So I feel like when you're a consultant, you can kind of get away with having a pretty basic website and maybe even not having a website at all. And as part of the rebrand, you invested in a new logo, which was kind of built on the previous logo, but also like a shit hot website. And it just felt like you that kind of sense of arrival that I mentioned with the office space as well. It was like, okay, we're here and we're ready to play. That was kind of the vibe you were giving off. So I think that was something else as well about the agency model. You really positioned yourself as an agency and invested in that positioning.
Absolutely. And I think it's worth saying too that to that point, we had never ever done any marketing. Absolutely every piece of work that had come through the door was based on a referral, or existing relationships. So we had never ever dipped our toe into marketing, which sounds very weird for
it's your industry. But you know, how great is that to say that you never had to go market yourself because you were getting so much business from word of mouth? But the problem is, once you transition over to an agency model and you want to start scaling it, it's hard to scale word of mouth referrals. So there needs to be something else.
There needed to be something else there, and not just from a business development perspective, but also for the team to feel like they belonged to something.
Yes. So true. The message it sends to them. You're so right.
And I wanted to, for, you know, potential team members, for people looking to come and work with us, I wanted them to look and see and feel what it is that we do and who we are. And I think that was really, really important as part of it.
You're so right. Yeah, building the brand for not just potential clients and clients, but your team and potential team members as well. Can we talk a bit about the horizons that you built? Because I think this was something really, really cool that you did. So we talked just to explain, in our iterations of working together, we've done several blocks of Power Quota Mentoring together. You came on a retreat with me last year in Byron before. Isn't it weird, Lucy, that weekend? It was like we got back to Sydney and it was like everything had changed. Do you remember that? It was like we got back on Sunday, the 1st of March, and it was like that was it. COVID was here and everything changed.
The last time we were out.
Yeah. Yeah, it does feel like that. So and you're in my current mastermind as well. So we've had lots of it different. We've had a pretty consistent relationship over the last 2 years. So something we did together last year was we mapped out where you want the business to be in 5 years. We spent quite a bit of time working on that. And then from that, we worked backwards on your org structure. So where do you want the org structure to be in 5 years' time? What bums do you need on what seats in order to be creating what you want to create in 5 years' time with the business? But then working back from that, then we said, okay, who needs to be in the org structure in 2 years? Who needs to be in the org structure by the end of this year? And then I feel like what you did, I think the way you built on what we did together was that you created the org structure in 5 years and put all the different job titles in the different places. And then you color coded it. So you had everyone that the seats that were currently filled, you put that in a certain color. Who you would need in a year's time, that was in a certain color, in 2 years and so on. It was so smart how you built out on that work we did together. So essentially what you created was different horizons, like three different horizons for what you wanted to hire. And you just went out and fecking made it happen. It was pretty amazing. I think you had like three hires that you needed to make and you just got on with it and made it happen. It was really brilliant. And I loved how you broke it down to the horizons, because if we look at an org structure in 5 years' time, A, it looks super overwhelming. But B, it also looks really expensive. And we're sitting there with the revenue that we're currently on going, there's no way in hell I can afford those people right now, which of course you can, because that's the org structure in 5 years' time. So can you just talk about how you've managed recruiting? Because I know it's also not a very easy time to recruit. I think there's a huge amount of demand for professionals in your space. So how is that kind of horizon-focused recruiting? How has that worked for you?
Yeah, so the horizons, they're super helpful, and I think anyone who has followed any of your work, Lorraine, would agree that the way you step out planning the business is so clear and simple and just easy for anyone, no matter your level of experience business planning, to really be able to get your head around having a really decent plan on the table. And that's been an enormous help to me.
Because I think the most important thing with planning is they need to be actionable. Like, it's all fine having this big fancy plan, but unless there's like a really easy low-hanging fruit that you can get started on it, you just don't get momentum on it. And I think that's what you're really, really good at doing, is getting that first thing done. And then it's almost like you unleash a chain of events then that you enter into a process at that point.
Yeah, and it really works for my, I guess, my strategic brain. Like that's how I like to work. And so I think I took the template that you shared with me and coached me through, and I have really just started to tweak that quarter by quarter. And the horizon piece really, really helps, because I like to look at the big picture and I like to be able to see where the agency is going, but then I need to know that those steps are achievable. So by being able to work back in kind of bite-sized chunks from that point, I find really helpful. And that goes for lots of different things, but for recruiting, it's been particularly helpful, because I think the industry that I'm in, so, you know, PR and communication and engagement industry, it's quite a small and close-knit industry. And good people are always in high demand.
Yes.
It's actually very hard to recruit and retain when the market is hot And so having that plan means that I constantly know who I'm looking for and when I'm looking for them.
Yes.
And I'm always scanning the market. I'm always talking to people. I'm talking to clients. I'm connecting with people that I've known over the years to see where they're at. And I'm constantly, I guess, sort of turning over names in my head. But also just looking to see where the opportunities might be. And depending on the role, the other thing I've found helpful with the horizons is how you go about recruiting. So, for example, we've just started our own sort of graduate pathway, which is where we bring graduates in and they come in as a support person to me, which means that they get to be directly mentored by me for the first 6 to 12 months of their time with us. That means that they have direct access to me and my client meetings and my client conversations. They get to listen, watch, and learn constantly. They get to understand how the business works from the ground up. So by the time they're ready to take on an account executive role, a client-facing role, they really understand how the business works and our values are really ingrained in them.
So good, Lucy. Love that. I didn't know you were doing that. That's genius. Yeah. And also, I mean, selfishly for you, it gives you that pipeline. And also, I feel like that would be music to a grad's ears, like you're going to be personally mentored by the business founder. I mean, who wouldn't want to jump at that chance? It's just brilliant. Good on you. So good.
Really great. Yeah. You're really loving that.
So with the agency model, I mean, it goes without saying, as you said, you've got a tiered system essentially where you've got team members who clients can pay for and there's different hourly rates depending on how much time and, depending on the level that someone is at. Given that a lot of clients, and you've got very long-standing clients as well, which is a testament to how brilliant you and your work is, how have you managed the reduced contact with clients? Because that might be someone who's listening's concern if they're a one-man band or a one-woman band right now and they want to build out a team. One of the blocks that they may have around that is, well, how are my clients going to deal if they're not getting me every day? And also, we all fall into this trap of like, no one can do it as well as I can. And we've all done it. So how have you managed the reduced client contact?
To be perfectly honest, this was something that I was really worried about. I know that a lot of other people would be. And my biggest piece of advice with it is to take it slowly.
Yes.
We probably took about a year to make this transition and we categorized clients. So clients that had, been with us for a really, really long period of time, that they were obviously on the long journey.
Yeah. They were going on the scenic route.
Those that have been with us for a shorter amount of time. Would have a slightly faster transition. And then as new clients came in, we started our current process, which is basically where I do all the upfront engagement with the client. They get to, their project kicks off with me. They get to have all that strategic advice and input up front.
Mm-hmm.
And with me during that is whoever in the team is going to lead that project. And that totally depends on the project and who's sort of the strongest person for to lead that.
Mm-hmm.
And we make it really clear from the beginning that I have complete visibility of their project. They can reach out to me whenever they want, if they want to ask me something, but all of their food and water, so to speak, comes from their account manager or their account director. And that is the process that we have now. I still call and talk to all of my clients regularly, and I do that not necessarily as a work conversation. Often I'll do it because I might see something that's of interest to them, and I'll send that to them and say, was thinking of you, or I might know it's a birthday, or maybe they've had an interview for a promotion or a milestone in a project, and I'll contact them and say congratulations. I also check in with them really, really regularly to see how my team is doing.
Yeah.
I ask my clients for raw feedback.
Yeah.
And I want them to know that they can reach out to me if there's ever anything that, you know, they want to share with me, or they want my input on. And it's worked really, really well.
Mm.
There are still some clients that I work with personally, but that's either because we have a very, very long-standing relationship and it's maybe a recurring piece of work, or it's because it falls completely in my area of specialty, which is that strategic advisory space.
Yeah.
Have
you had any clients who just don't want to give you up? Because if I was your client, I wouldn't want to give you up, even if your team is as amazing as they are.
No, I've had some that we've extended that transition period.
Yeah, makes sense.
And that may have been because there was a milestone we were delivering in the project, and the timing was just not right for me to say, okay, now someone else is going to lead this. Generally, they've been really amazing. And I had a really great experience the other day with a new client where we have a weekly WIP, and I had been really busy that morning. And so my head wasn't yet in what we needed to go through in that WIP. And I reached out to the team just beforehand and I said, oh, guys, what do I need to know for the WIP? And they said to me, nothing.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Did you have a moment?
Just turn up. And I went, oh, okay. And so I turned up to the WIP. And
sorry, for anyone who's not Australian, WIP is work in progress meeting. Australians are weird. Sorry. And they call progress meetings WIPs for some reason. I had to get my head around that within like my first 2 hours of working in Australia.
What are you talking about? Yes, and I spent the whole meeting in absolute awe of how far we've come, really.
I just got goosebumps when you said that.
It was one of those lovely moments.
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, it's a moment for you, but you know how many hours of planning and strategizing and implementing and getting over your own negative mindset bullshit to go and make that happen. So those moments are extra special when they happen. And can we talk about, so what's been the difference? So over the last 2 years, you pretty much transitioned from everything being on Lucy's plate to spreading it across an incredible team. Can you just give listeners an idea, like how many team members have you got now? So one man band, one woman band, who have you got now?
Six
full-time team members right now. Yeah. Gold. Mm-hmm. And your own fabulous New York style office as well. So what difference has that made? Like, I'm assuming you're glad you made this transition. Yeah. That's a big assumption.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So many pros for me. I mean, just quickly, we have a much clearer proposition.
Yes, agree.
Than we ever did before, and to a much wider audience. It's given my business arms and legs, and I mean that physically and metaphorically.
Yeah.
We were not sustainable before, and we are now. It's also given the team more ownership. You know, it's not about me.
Yes.
It's about us collectively. And that moment where they went from going, I'm so worried because it's your name, to going, hey, we've got this because this is our business.
Yes. Good on you.
Amazing. It's really rewarding.
And obviously you've got more free time. No, free time.
What? I'm sorry, what?
You're spending less time doing I guess, as you, just to explain that analogy, because I think you and I probably talk about it quite freely and people may not understand. I talk a lot about you need the heads in the business, like the thinkers, but you also need the arms and the legs, the doers as well. And when you were back doing the One Woman Lucy Band, you were the head, the arms and the legs. Whereas now you get to be the head. You've also got arms and legs, and that's not to say your team don't think, because we know that they do. And what have you done now? Is there anything that you've created in the business over the last couple of years as a result of having more time to focus on strategic initiatives and maybe the more, I don't want to say intellectual, but maybe more building your IP within the business?
Yeah, absolutely. It's given me the freedom to focus on something that I really, really love to do, which I was organically doing with my clients as part of projects, but it gave me the headspace to really pull that out and create a coaching program for clients. So basically the program coaches leaders, professionals, it's targeted at that executive level, and it steps them through a structured program which coaches them to be more effective communicators. But whether that's engaging with their teams, with their stakeholders, or with the media, and it basically has brought together everything that I've learned about communication and all my experience working with senior professionals over the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. So all my tools and methods, and it's packaged up into a 5-session structured program. And it basically takes people through the concept of calm communication. So it's called the Calm Communication Program. Mm-hmm. And calm communication is all about the way you approach communication. So it's about being more considered, more strategic, and having that big picture focus. And it's also about understanding how things like listening, nonverbal and verbal communication, and understanding how that works in relationships and the impact that can have on your communication and how you reach people and how you influence people, and how you can really effectively tell your story.
We also
go through storytelling in business, so matching storytelling to strategy, weaving into your strategy. We have a formula that we've perfected for crafting messaging, so we work through that with clients, and we also have a whole session on engagement skills and presentation skills. So the clients that I coach walk out of there with something really practical and tangible that they can take back to their teams, or they can take back to their clients, or if they're preparing for a big communication moment like media briefing, press conference, they've really got the skills that they need to deliver that and deliver it effectively.
Brilliant. So good. And think about, Lucy, if you hadn't have gone on this journey to build the agency, there's no way you would have had it's not even necessarily the time. I think it's the mental bandwidth. I mean, that's such inspired work that you created there, and so concise and clear. And you just packaged up your IP from 25 years into a brilliant program. That there's no way you could have done that as the one woman Lucy Band. You just wouldn't have had the headspace to do it.
Yeah. And we also just because of we are currently in lockdown, I've just created a virtual version of that for teams. So it's something that we've sort of packaged it into a bite-sized 4-hour session with a break in between, but it's delivered remotely by me, and it's just a nice way to do something different with your team that's really engaging And upskills them as well while we're all working remotely.
Yeah, God knows we need CAM communication right now more than we've ever needed it as well. But I think also, Lucy, I mean, that's the thing, right? You could, and I know there's some people listening who are running their one-woman band or one-man band and going, you know, but I need to service my clients, I need to get after my clients. But I think what you've illustrated so perfectly during this chat, but also just coming to the end, talking about CAM, your CAM communication offer, is that that's you serving your clients in the highest and best way that you can. It makes so much more sense for you to be creating that and working with execs on that or teams on that than running around trying to pull together a press release. Like, it just makes no sense for you to be doing that. It's so much better that you've got a team who can do maybe more of that work that you were doing up to a couple of years ago, so that you can focus your time and energy. And ultimately, you're serving your business better, you're serving yourself better, your clients better, your team better as a result of doing that. So I feel like you've just encapsulated perfectly why it's worth going on this journey. And I know you would say it hasn't always been an easy journey, but it's worthwhile even in the challenging parts. Just briefly, while you're talking about what you offer, what kind of clients do you work with? So if someone's listening to this going, oh my God, this woman sounds amazing, her team sounds brilliant, I need to get on to this. What kind of clients do you work with? Just so people have an idea of where you're positioned in terms of client service.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a lot of government clients. So that's New South Wales government or state government. We've also worked with Victorian government as well. But we do also have corporate clients, so health, education, technology, finance, sport, a really wide variety of clients. Mm-hmm. And I guess, our core three streams of business are that communication, so that's everything from corporate affairs through to that real strategic planning, PR, media piece, engagement, which is that digital engagement and campaign delivery, but also working with stakeholders and building better relationships between stakeholders. So that can be business to business or business to customer. And events, obviously, is our third stream there. So we deliver everything from large scale conferences through to media briefings. I also facilitate workshops for clients. So we have a wide variety of services, but very, very strong in the corporate affairs and government relations space.
I feel like you're like the grown up PR. My background in PR was like beauty and fashion and lifestyle and health. I always look at you and go, that's like proper grown-up shit that she does compared to what I did when I was in this space. So I know we're coming to the end of our time together, my dear. So is there anything else that you would like to pass on? So if anyone's listening going, oh my God, that sounds really good, but I don't know where to start, or I'm scared. Is there anything you feel like we've missed or that you would like to pass on to someone who might be sitting where you were sitting a couple of years ago?
Yeah, there's two things I'd like to say. One is that, and it sounds really obvious, but get a mentor.
Yeah. I promise I didn't ask you to say that.
No, I'm not saying it because it's you.
Thank you.
It really, really has been the biggest shift for me. And the shift was just having someone in my corner. Who has no involvement in my business, is not financially invested in my business in any way or form, but is 100% invested in my success.
I love how you phrase that. Yeah, beautiful.
And is just always there watching out for you.
And saving you the potholes. I know that's why I've invested so heavily in mentoring myself, and particularly in my first business, but it's, I mean, I had a board of advisors, and I was writing about this in the book the other day. I said, I swear I got done in 5 years in that business what a lot of people would have taken 15 years to get done. And it's because I had people sitting there going, don't do that, because I did that and it was an absolute shit fight. Do this instead. You just save yourself going down so many dead ends.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that.
Yeah. And what's your second one?
And the other thing I would say is that, you know, take your time. You don't have to rush through this. Make sure that you try things. Not everything is going to work for you. You are going to make mistakes, regardless of whether you have someone guiding you over those potholes or not.
Yes, exactly. It's not going to prevent all of them.
Yeah, you will still make mistakes, but get comfortable with that. It's part of being in business. And it's okay to not know how to do everything. I'm a communication expert. I'm not a business expert. So reaching out to the right people and having the right people around you is so important.
Yeah, so true. Love that. Thank you so much, my dear. This has been amazing. I just want to do podcast episodes all the time with you. It's fun.
Anytime.
We might have to get you back on to talk about calm communication, yes. Especially if we're all still stuck in lockdown in a while.
Yes, I would absolutely love
it. We'll need it. Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, I say this to you all the time, but I'm just so glad you sent that email 2 years ago. It's been so incredibly fulfilling for me. And just when you actually get to mentor someone who goes away and makes it happen and reports back, and you know, whether it works or it doesn't, just the fact that someone's implementing and making it happen, it just means the world. And I respect you enormously for your intellect and your professionalism and all of the things. So the fact that you choose to work with me, it's not taken lightly. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, it's been fun. Thank you so much, my dear. Yeah. Thank you. Well, not when I'm kicking your ass in a session, probably not.
Yeah, you are much lighter on me today.
Am I being nice to you because everyone's listening? Thank you, my love.
Thank you so much.
There is the wonderful Lucy Baytag. How special is she? I absolutely adore that woman and working with her and her team as well. So if you would like to know more about Lucy or the LKB Agency or CAM Communication, you can visit thelkbagency.com.au. And you can also find Lucy and the agency on Instagram as well. And I'll pop the links to their Instagram handles in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for joining myself and Lucy for this week's chat. And reminder that if you are looking to shift life or business up a gear, my mentoring spots are now open. I've got just 10 spots available this side of Christmas. So jump onto my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au, or connect with me on Instagram. If you've got any questions about working with me, just jump onto Insta or drop me an email as well via my website. So until next week's episode, I will chat to you then. Thank you so much again for joining this week. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.